either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال للذي ظن أنه ناج منهم اذكرني عند ربك فأنساه الشيطان ذكر ربه فلبث في السجن بضع سنين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah we continue with Surah Yusuf, verse number 41, 42, 43. Two individuals were in prison and in the company of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, and if you recall, both of them had a dream, and they came to Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, and Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam gave them the interpretation of their dream, and he said, amma ahadukuma fayasqi rabbahu khamra. One of you will be saved, and he is that person who will be serving drinks to the king at that time. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرَ فَيُسْلَبْ. But the second person will be killed, he will be executed. فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. And then Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to that person who was going to be saved, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَ اذْكُرْنِي. The one who is going to be saved, the one who is providing the drinks to the king of the time. So he is the butler for the king. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, do me one favor, اُذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Just make my mention that a man who is innocent and who is still in prison, mention my name Yusuf, that he is still in prison. And maybe at that time, this king was a king who was just, and maybe people had heard about Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. So all he requested from this person is that, look, I have done you a lot of favor. You have sat in my gatherings, you have benefited from my knowledge. And so all you do is that when you see the king, just whisper in his ears that, look, I was in the prison and I know of someone whose name is Yusuf, he is innocent. Let us look into his matter. Khair, this man, when he got out, he forgot completely about Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. The Quran actually says, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِدْعَ سِنِينَ. Shaitan made him forget to remember him in front of the king, and because of this one mistake, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam had to stay in prison again for a long period of time. Some have said he stayed there for 12 years. Some have said he stayed there for 8 years. Some of the commentators have even mentioned 9 years, 7 years. So khair, it's still a very long period of time for a man who is completely innocent. And so, subhanallah, our ulama have mentioned here from this ayat-e-kareema, one thing that we have to learn is that the Quran is saying, Shaitan made him forget. One of the most powerful weapons of Shaitan is to make a person forget. This is a very powerful weapon of Shaitan. Now there are two conditions of a human being. Sometimes naturally, as a human being, you can forget. In fact, some ulama have mentioned that the word insan comes from also the same root words of nasiya. And nasiya in the Arabic language means to forget, from the word nisyan. And so insan can forget, a human being can forget. This feature, this function is in him that he can forget. But a lot of the times this forgetfulness, for a person to forget, it is triggered by Shaitan. It is triggered by Shaitan. And how does he make insan forget? By disturbing him. By distraction. So now he is in his salah. Imagine it is only 4 rakats. How many rakats? 4 rakats. But even in 4 rakats, he forgot which rakat he is in. So now he doesn't know that, is it my 3rd rakat? Is it my 2nd rakat? Is it my 4th rakat? Which rakat is it? He doesn't know. Again, by disturbing him, distracting him. These are things that can happen a lot of the times. This is what exactly Shaitan does. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. That you forget to pray your namaz. You became so busy, preoccupied, that the time of Asr ended, the time of Fajr ended, the time of Zuhr ended, and you realize now, oho, you know, this was not my intention. He will make you forget the promise that you have done. So that fulfilling a promise, that is a character of a believer. So he makes you forget also that, look, you know, this is the promise that you did. Sometimes you are in your ihram, going for Hajj, and you might forget your talbiyah. And you might put on itar, atar. And you might do something which you should not do in your ihram. All from Shaitan. It triggers Shaitan. This is what he wants. And so a person needs to be very, very careful. Sometimes you will find that a person starts to eat and mashallah he has eaten everything that is there. Then he remembers, oho, I did not even read Bismillah. He goes to sleep and he's so tired. Shaitan makes him tired that he does not even say the kalima. He does not even recite the kuls. He does not even recite Ayatul Kursi and he falls asleep. So all of these things are actually from Shaitan. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers. Forgetfulness, that is there, no problem, it can happen. But sometimes when a person, the more he is abstaining from the remembrance of Allah, then the more of nisyan, this feature of forgetfulness can enter into him. So one way to curtail this is to make, we have to actually change our habit. We have to change our lifestyle. We have to enforce upon ourselves that these are the things that we have to do. These are the things that we have to do. And once that becomes a habit, then inshallah ta'ala, it will become easy for a person to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us that at the time of death, we forget to recite the kalima. Allah save us from this. It is not of a Muslim generally, our Akabirin say, that at the time of death, a Muslim should naturally read the kalima. This kalima should be in his mouth all the time. And so subhanallah, this is something that is very, very important. Very important, my respected brothers. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And this will only come when we are constantly also reciting the kalima, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And when you keep on saying La ilaha illallah, believe me, this will come back to you. This La ilaha illallah will come back to you. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Afdalu dhikri La ilaha illallah, that the best form of dhikr that a person can do is La ilaha illallah. So the more you say La ilaha illallah, at the time of death, when death comes to you, inshaAllah ta'ala, this kalima you will not forget. So nisyan, forgetfulness, this is actually from shaitan. It is, shaitan triggers this. There is a distraction. Shaitan disturbs a person so that he forgets to do his amal. He will forget what he has promised. He will forget his pledge. He will forget, subhanallah, serving certain individuals, mother, father, he will forget. He will forget his duty. He will forget to read the Quran. Sometimes you will find that after the month of Ramadan, a lot of people have made an intention that we want to recite the Quran. But how many people actually recite the Quran? And how much khatam do we do of the Quran? How much nisbat have we got with the Quran? Subhanallah. Nowadays it's so easy that we have the mobile phone, we have the apps. So mashallah, even on your mobile phone, if you read the Quran and understand the Quran and also understand the meaning and the message of the Quran, what the Quran is telling you, there is nothing but khair. You will actually start to enjoy this. You will want to listen to the Quran all the time. Allah give us all the tawfiq. We also see in Suratul Kahf, Musa alayhi salam, when he went to meet Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. So he said to Yusha bin Noon, that this is our food. What was the food? Fish. Huh? MashaAllah, fish. Sabko yaad hai na? So Musa alayhi salam said that, look, the point where this fish, we lose this fish, that is where we are going to meet Khizr alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam was resting, and miraculously, subhanallah, in front of Yusha bin Noon, this fish jumped out from the bag and it fell in the river in front of him, making like a tunnel going straight into the water. And so Yusha bin Noon said, Musa alayhi salam is resting, I will let him know later on when he wakes up. As Musa alayhi salam wakes up, Yusha bin Noon forgets. And so now they start to walk, and then Musa alayhi salam is saying, you know what, I feel very tired. Why? What's the matter? Something is wrong. And he says, oh, now I remember, shaitan made me forget. What did he say? Shaitan made me forget. So a lot of the times, my respected brothers and elders, shaitan is the one that makes a person forget. But we have to counter that. We have to counter that by understanding, by being alert. Like how a person is driving, he has to be alert. Subhanallah. He has to be very alert. There are so many actions that we take in which it requires for a person to be very, very alert. So in this world, the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that we have to be alert. Allow not shaitan to make you forget your duty and your responsibility in this world. This is something that is also very, very important. So shaitan made him forget that he should speak about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in front of the king. And now, in the next ayat or the next one ruku, there is another dream that is mentioned in the Quran, Surah Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has registered and recorded many dreams. right in the beginning, the dream of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Then a few dreams in the middle here. And then another dream also towards the end of this beautiful chapter. So khair here, remember there are certain individuals. One is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And then the father is who? Yaqub alayhi salam. Just to recap very quickly. Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam. And then we also touched on the issue of some of the things, accusations that were put on Yusuf alayhi salam with regards to the wife of the minister. The wife of the minister whose name was Zulaykha. And then Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam was put in prison. Now, we are not talking about the minister, we are talking about that person, individual who has the greatest power in Egypt. He is the king of Egypt. Who is he? He is the king of Egypt. So the Quran does not describe this man as Fir'aun or Pharaoh. But here the Quran in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, the Quran describes him as Malik. And Malik means a king. Malik means a king. So now the Malik, the king of the time in Egypt, he sees a dream. He sees a dream. Subhanallah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible for Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam for him to come out from a situation despite the fact that nobody was talking about him. Nobody was talking about him. It is very ajeeb. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, my respected brothers. Allah does not spoon feed someone. You know, it is not expected that I don't work and that's it. Allah will give me everything. A person needs to go with the flow with his life. And then there are certain events and incidents that occur in his life that make dramatic changes. And because of that, sometimes a person becomes successful. And sometimes a person, he might even lose what he has, but that is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of things happen. A lot of changes happen in life. So now look at the changes in the life of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. He is in prison. Now the king sees a dream. He saw a dream. And in the dream, the Quran says, "Inni ara sab'a baqaratin simani ya'kuluhunna sab'un ijaf wa sab'a sumbulatin khudrin wa ukhara yabisat." He says that I have seen this ajeeb, amazing dream that there are seven lean, fat cows. There are seven lean, fat cows that have been eaten by seven thin cows. Seven fat cows have been eaten by seven thin cows. This is a dream. And then with that also he saw that there are seven grains of corn that are green and lush and full. And with that, the seven grains of corn have been covered with seven corns that are withered and have been dried. So the lush corn is in the inside and from the outside it is covered by dry corn completely. So he said that what kind of a dream is this? It's not something that you will see that a cow is eating another cow. Seven thin cows have eaten seven lean fat cows. So now when he sees the dream, the Quran says, "Ya ayyuhal mala'u aftuni fi ru'yaya in kuntum lirru'ya ta'burun." So he called all of his ministers. And he called the ministers, he says, "Look, I have seen a dream. Usually what happens, you people are my advisors. So if you know this knowledge, then tell me the meaning of my dream." So it was also taunting them that, you know, do you know this science of understanding the dreams? And if you know it, then tell me what is the meaning of the dream that I have seen. Now the Quran gives us another very important lesson. There are some people who find it against their prestige, their honor, that even if it is not in their knowledge, they will want to give some kind of an information, whether it is right or whether it is wrong. This is wrong. If you don't know something, then the best answer, what the scholars say, is to say, Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows best. Look, I don't know the mas'ala. And there is nothing wrong with that, because there is no human being that has the knowledge of everything. There is no human being that has the knowledge of everything. So saying, Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows best, this is the best answer you can give if you don't know the answer. But these were people who were ministers and were not people who stayed in the company of the Ahle Haqq, of Anbiya and the truthful people. So when this dream was mentioned in front of them, what they said, قَالُوا أَدْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ They said to the king that these are jumbled up, mishmash dreams that you are talking about. That has got no meaning. It's of great confusion. Adghath is actually the plural of dighthun. And in the Arabic language, dighthun means the chaff that is separated after thrashing it, the husks that remain, and which is of no value. So they are saying that it is adghathu ahlam. These dreams that you are seeing is baseless, that have got no meaning. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالِمِينَ And look, if the dream had any kind of a meaning, then we would know. But your dream is completely baseless, it has no meaning, and therefore, we actually don't know the meaning of this dream, because there is no meaning to it. Now it is ajeeb that the king refers to what he saw as ru'ya. And ru'ya means a dream. And the ministers are calling the dream as ahlam. Ahlam also means a nightmare, something that is false, something that is also from shaitan. So it means nothing. Now what happens? Subhanallah. When the ministers could not give an answer, guess who was sitting next to the king? Who was sitting next to the king? The butler. The butler was sitting next to the king. The Quran says, وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةِ What language of the Quran? And that the Quran says that the person from the two who was saved, وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا The one who was saved from the two, وَدَّكَرَ وَدَّكَرَ means he remembered. بَعْدَ أُمَّةِ And ummatin here means after a long period of time he remembered. So now the butler remembered that, oh, this is a dream, and the ministers know nothing, but I know someone who knows the science of dreams. So now again, subhanallah, the Quran reveals the mentality and the character of individuals. So sometimes you will find that it is ego, that is takabbur in a person, that he will not accept the fact that he does not know something. Even when he does not know something, he will want to give the wrong information, but he will package it in such a way that you should be convinced that this is right. When simply he could have just said, no, this is not in my knowledge. And now what happens? He wants to take credit. This butler wants to take credit. So the face that he gives to the king is as if he knows the meaning of the dream. What does he say? Ana unabbi'ukum. Look, I will tell you. He does not say that I know someone who knows of this and I will go to Yusuf who is in prison. And when Yusuf tells me, I will tell you. He doesn't say that. But he wants to take all the credit. Sometimes you will find that this is also a defect in a person. Sometimes this happens. Somebody else has done something and you want to take credit of it. This is also wrong. But a person should say, no, this is not from me, this is from actually that person. So you have to be very genuine. So he is saying, أَنَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِتَأْوِيلِهِ فَأَرْسِلُونَ. In one word he is saying, that look, I will tell you, but I want to tell you properly. So allow me to leave your gathering, send me, I need to go somewhere. So the king said, okay, go, you are free to go, as long as you can tell me the meaning of this dream. Subhanallah. Now what happens, of course everybody knew of this man who is very close to the king, he is a butler. So he went straight to the prison. When he went straight to the prison, he knew the guards there, and he said that I come here on behalf of the king and I need access to this room in which Yusuf alayhi salam is stationed. This is where I want to go. So they take him straight to the room of Yusuf, Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. When they take him to Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, how does he speak and how does he meet Yusuf alayhi salam? Subhanallah, again Allah speaks of the character of insan. You know, insan has different characters. That is why Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, the messengers, all of them were shepherds. What were they? Because being a shepherd, you need a lot of sabr, tolerance. The animals run from one direction to another. They go here, they go here. Some are very wild. And so a shepherd will look after his flock. And so a Nabi also looks after his ummah. What does he do? He looks after his ummah, and in the ummah you will find all sorts of people. But the Nabi will try to keep all of them together. All of them together. So he comes along, and because of his one mistake, Yusuf alayhi salam had to stay in prison for many years. Now he greets Yusuf alayhi salam. The Quran has said, when he saw Yusuf, he said, Yusufu ayyuhas siddiq. Subhanallah. He said, O Yusuf, the most truthful. O Yusuf, the most truthful. Now that is all that the Quran speaks of. The Quran is saying that is all he said, Yusufu ayyuhas siddiq. You know, he did not want to apologize. I am so sorry. You know what? I forgot. Genuinely, I forgot. Oh my teacher, forgive me for so many years you have been here because of me. Please forgive me. Make dua for me. This was a genuine mistake. I forgot nothing. All he said was, oh Yusuf, who is the most truthful. No apologies to Yusuf alayhi salam. And now he is so excited that he wants to make the king happy. So when you make the king happy, you become a very powerful person. You are more powerful than the advisors that were there, the ministers. So now he goes straight into the conversation. Aftina fi sab'i baqaratin simani ya'kuluhunna sab'un ijafun wa sab'i sumbulatin khudrin wa ukhra yabisat. Same thing. He says these are the seven fat cows that have been eaten by seven thin cows, and then Subhanallah, the grain of seven grains of corn, lush green, that have been covered by seven grains that are very, very dry. So tell me the meaning of this dream. لَعَلِّي أَرْجِعُ إِلَى النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Imagine, he does not even tell Yusuf alayhi salam who saw the dream. He does not tell Yusuf alayhi salam who saw the dream. He didn't. And he says, if you tell me, then I can go back to the people and inform them of the meaning. What would we do, my respected brothers, if we were in prison and if this man came to us again and if he is asking for a favor, how would we respond? What would we say, genuinely? What would you say? Get out. There's the door. There's the door. What do you think I am? Huh? You only come to me when you need me? Huh? When you need me, you come to me, get out. You know, what? How would we respond? And at this time, our Nabi said, you know, my Nabi and your Nabi. He said, Ajibtu. I am amazed of the character of my brother. What did he say? I am amazed of the character of my brother Yusuf. Allah's Nabi is praising Joseph. Yusuf alayhi salam. I am amazed at his character. And he says, I am amazed at his sabr, at his tolerance level. Even after being in prison for 11 to 12 years, this man forgets all the favors. He is asking that, tell me the meaning of it. Not only does Yusuf alayhi salam gives the meaning, the ta'bir, but also the tadbir. What does he do? He gives the ta'bir and also the tadbir. He gives the interpretation and also the solution to the problem. That this is the meaning and this is what you have to do. Amazing character. Now why? Why was Yusuf alayhi salam prepared to talk to them like that? You see, my respected brothers, the character of a Nabi we need to understand. A Nabi, Allah's Nabi has said, Ana lakum bi manzilatil walid. What did he say? Ana lakum bi manzilatil walid. I am to you like a merciful father to his children. My example is a Nabi to his ummah is like a merciful father to his children. A father who is very, very merciful will show mercy to his children. Yusuf alayhi salam again was a Nabi. And being a Nabi, he was very merciful. Rahmat, sabr was inside him. And he only wanted good for his people. He only wanted good for his people, for his community. At the end of the day, they were his people. At the end of the day, they were his people. Now, before we go further, just to give you some important clarification and understanding that Yusuf alayhi salam and generally Anbiya, the messengers, they go through a lot of musibat. What do they go through? A lot of calamity, tribulations, tests, difficulty, pain, a lot of trauma in their life, a lot of difficulty. And in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the messengers go through a very difficult time in this dunya, and also those who follow the path of a Nabi, they go also through a very, very difficult time. Now, why is it that you are a man of Iman and difficulty comes to us? What is the wisdom? What is the hikmat? Ulama have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He likes an individual, Allah does not like him that his heart is inclined to dunya. And so there are always going to be obstacles and difficulties that is going to hit him in the world, so that his heart does not be always attached to this dunya. That is why for the kuffar, because in the hereafter there is no jannah, so your heart can be inclined to this dunya. It's okay, there is no difficulty, enjoy. Whatever you want to enjoy, do whatever you want to do. But for a believer, sometimes there is difficulty. Why? Sometimes there is so much difficulty that he begins to hate this dunya. What does he do? He begins to hate this dunya, but Allah wants him to hate this dunya because Allah has not made this dunya for him. Allah has made you for the hereafter Jannah. That is why sometimes this difficulty is there. And then sometimes also for the common man who has Iman only, if he goes through a difficult patch in life, then at least he has got some examples that look, even a Nabi and even pious people, great people went through this difficulty. So let me do sabr and turn to Allah. The worst thing a person can do, my respected brothers, is that a difficulty hits him. Some calamity comes to him. Some trauma touches him. Something happens to him. And now he turns away from Allah. And now instead of remembering Allah, he turns away from Allah. And he rebels and he turns away from Allah. This is the worst person. This is the worst character of an individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also save us, my respected brothers. Just to give you an example, because Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam were in prison, difficulty came to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes when a person is very comfortable in this world, everything is going his way. You know, he's got a beautiful house, beautiful car, beautiful this, beautiful that, beautiful. Everything is just very, very beautiful. Everything is going his way. Then there is every possibility that his heart falls in love with dunya. That his heart falls in love with. So now and then Allah brings turbulence. Now and then Allah brings turbulence. Because you've got iman, Allah knows how strong this person's iman is. How much pressure must be given to this man? Allah knows how much pressure must be given to this man. There's a bit of turbulence. Why? So that your heart does not connect to this dunya. Now some people might say, okay, you know what? If Allah knows who is going to go to Jannah, if Allah knows who is going to go to Jahannam, then why send us here in this world? Well, remember, my respected brothers and elders, Allah has sent us here in this world because we are the witnesses to our own actions. We are witnesses to our own action. Imagine if Allah did not create us and there is Jannah and Jahannam, and then Allah says, right, I have created you, but I have not sent you in the world, but because of my knowledge, I know you will be a bad guy, you will not do good. Let me throw you in Jahannam, 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 some people in Jannah. So now the people who go in Jahannam, they will start to think, you know what? What is the justice of Allah? What have I done? What is the justice of Allah? What have I done? How can I be punished for something that I have not done? For something that I have not? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates you and gives you the freedom so you do your own actions. And then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah says, Ikra kitabak. You are not going to blame Allah. Read your own book of deeds. Ikra kitabak. Read your books. And then you yourself will know. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawm. You today will make your own decision. You will know whether you qualify entry into Jannah or Allah save us into Jahannam. And then at that time, if a person is destined to Jahannam, Allah will stop him and say to him, now you know of your actions and you were going to be punished, but I am going to show you my mercy. So by my mercy, you enter Jannah. So that is why a human being lives in this world to witness his own actions also in the hereafter. Baat samajh mein aayi ya nahi mere azizu? This is something that is also very, very important. Now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam gives the complete meaning and also the complete solution to the problem that they are going to face in Egypt. He said, قَالَ تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبَى. He said, look, for 7 years you will harvest. Da'aba means as usual. That means for 7 years you will get a lot of rain and you will get a lot of harvest and everything will be good. فَمَا حَسَدْتُمْ فَذُرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ. And that what you reap, leave some in the outer shell. Leave some in the outer shell. Yusuf alayhi salam is saying that don't remove the corn from the shell. Why? Because of bacteria. So leave it in the outer shell. Only use that much amount of your produce that you need to eat. What is it? Mimma ta'kulun, that you will need to eat. The rest, what you are supposed to do is you are supposed to keep it. And then after 7 years, You will have ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ سَبْعٌ شِدَادٌ. Then 7 strong years will come in which there will be famine and drought. So now in the 7 years, what you are going to do is that the food that you have saved, that will help you in the 7 years of drought. And then he said thereafter, so that is 14 years, 7 and 7. After 14 years, he said, the year 15, ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسِ. That in that 1 year it will rain a lot and people will be happy and you will be pressing grapes. You will be pressing grapes. So you will have a lot of, you know, drinks available. So here Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam explained to them the entire meaning of what will happen and what the king should do. What the king should do. Khair, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did not inquire who saw the dream. He did not inquire about anything. But this was his sabr. This was the level of tolerance that was inside him. And he gave the answers. So alhamdulillah, we also learn that as Muslims, people of Iman generally, in our hearts, we should be also like that, that we want to benefit people. We want to benefit people. It is very easy for a person to take revenge, but for a person to forgive and to forget, and in fact to benefit someone, that is the highest mark. And it is the barakat of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's good character, that in the next ruku, the king actually summons the butler and says, how did you get this information? Who told you about this? And then he has to actually reveal that there is a man and he is in prison, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is requested that he should come out of prison, but he still refuses. He says, now I won't come out, but there are a few certain conditions. So insha'Allah ta'ala, this ruku we will cover in our next session. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Just for a few minutes, brothers. MashaAllah, if you can shut your eyes, close your eyes, and MashaAllah, let us work with the heart, because if the heart is pure, then this will have an effect upon the entire body. MashaAllah, the life of the heart is for the heart to do the zikr of Allah. One is the physical heart and one is the spiritual heart. The physical heart looks after the physical body. The spiritual heart looks after your ruh. And the ruh needs also food. MashaAllah. So close your eyes and MashaAllah on the left side. MashaAllah, there is the heart where you have your physical heart. That is also the spiritual heart. And MashaAllah, let it do the zikr of Allah. And think that my heart is doing Allah, Allah, Allah. When the heart beats, that is the zikr of Allah. Let it be the zikr of Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We have our brother Carlos that is to my left here, mashallah, who's just recently accepted Islam. So if brothers can also meet him, mashallah, welcome him to Masjid-e-Umar.